Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Jude.
Jude verse number 11. We've been in this verse for a little while. We dealt with that first phrase of this verse. Let's go ahead and look at verse number 11, Jude. Of course, there's only one chapter, so chapter 1, verse number 11. Talking about the certain men crept in unawares, he says, "Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsaying of Korah." Father, we thank you for your word. Bless it as we look into it this evening, that you might be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we consider this verse, we've been looking just at the woes in the New Testament, but in this verse, there's three philosophies of the false teachers. And I think we find these same three philosophies in our culture today, not just among the false teachers, but we find these three philosophies prevalent in what we call Christendom, the wide umbrella that's all-encompassing. These are three very concerning things, because these are the specific reason why God looks down from heaven and gives the exclamation of grief that he gave here in this verse when he said, "Woe unto them." His attitude hasn't changed. His standards have never dipped. He still is the same today as he was yesterday and as he'll be tomorrow, isn't he? And so as we consider these, we need to keep in mind that we just need to be careful that none of these three philosophies infect our lives. Today, I only intend to look at the first of the philosophies, and that would be the fact that they've gone in the way of Cain. Well, what is the way of Cain? That's what we're going to look at this evening. But let's look at Cain first for just a moment. Of course, he's mentioned in Genesis. We'll go back to Genesis in just a little while, but he's mentioned in two places other than Genesis and here in the book of Jude. He's mentioned in Hebrews chapter number 11. So let's turn there just briefly. Hebrews chapter 11, just a few pages back towards the front or to the left. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 4, we read that by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. And so here in this verse, the focus is on the sacrifice. The focus is on the sacrifice. Of course, we're familiar with what took place there, and shortly after Adam and Eve were removed from the Garden of Eden and began raising their family. And again, we'll look at that in a little more detail in just a little bit. But Cain's sacrifice just wasn't as excellent as Abel's. And so there was a problem with that, and we'll talk about that. And so not going to go on with that much longer. But let's look also in 1 John. 1 John, if you go from Jude, just turn a few pages to the left. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Verse number 12. Here the Bible tells us, "Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous." So here the focus is on Cain's rebellion, on his rebellion. Now, think about this. We know that Cain got upset because Abel's offering was different, and God had respect unto Abel's offering. But did you realize that Cain's offering to Abel was just as different as Abel's offering was to Cain? And yet Cain didn't react violently towards his brother because he offered a different type of offering. Now think about this. How do the Muslims and the Hindus respond to Christianity? They respond with violence. How about the humanists? They're responding violently today, aren't they? Even in our own country. And guess who gets arrested? If there's a street preacher out there and a crowd You know, one person takes offense and they bring a few of their buddies and they start throwing fists and bottles and cans. Guess who gets arrested? Not the people that are harming the street preacher, but the street preacher gets arrested for causing the ruckus, for exercising his right of free speech. Some of you are looking at me like, you know, cross-eyed, like I'm making this stuff up, but it's true in our own country. These things have happened. And that's just where the world goes. Why is that? Because we're light and they're darkness. And they respond this way in our world system. And I'm not saying that all of our law enforcement officers are humanists and lost, because they're not. We have a lot of godly men in our law enforcement and in our governments. But this is just the way it is today as we approach the day of the Lord's return. And so Abel didn't respond violently, but Cain sure did, even though it was just as opposite, going both directions. Now, why did Cain act this way? Conviction. He knew he was wrong. It's just that simple. He knew it, but he wasn't willing to admit it. And instead of getting angry with God, well, he may have gotten angry with God too, but instead of taking it out on God, because he can't do that, he takes it out on God's messenger and on God's people. And it's no different today. We shouldn't think it unusual. It's just the way it is. And we continue to love even those that mistreat us, and we treat them with respect and with dignity, no matter who they are. Sometimes that's a tough bill of order, isn't it? But that's the way God would have us to respond. And that's how our light shines. That's how we become salt and light. Otherwise, we're no longer salt. What does God say about salt that's no longer salty? Throw it out in the trash. Now, those aren't the words he used, but that's what he meant when he said to throw it in the street and be trod underfoot, because that's what they did with the trash. And so if we want to have biblical Christianity that's worth something and makes a difference in our world, this is what we've got to do, no matter how difficult it can be at times. Well, let's turn back to Genesis 4. We're going to come back here to Jude, I believe, after a little bit. So you may want to stick something in there. But Genesis chapter 4, let's go look at the event that tells us about Cain. We're talking about the way of Cain. That's what these false teachers or these certain men crept in unawares were taking. They were taking the way of Cain. So what was that way? We need to identify that so we can recognize it when we see it in the world. And if we see those things or that way creeping up in our lives, we need to be aware of that so that we can avoid it and change our ways, change our direction. All right, well, the first question that I ask is, how much time elapsed in Genesis chapter 4? In Genesis chapter 4, look at verse number 1. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother, Abel. And Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And as you go through the chapter, you find that they offer their offerings. Cain gets mad and kills his brother and then is an outcast. And then a brief genealogy of the family of Cain, which is interesting in itself. But how much time do you suppose all of that involved? Because we read it in just a few minutes, if it even takes us that long, and we think, boy, all this happened just bang, 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 and it's over in just a matter of a short period of time. But there's 130 years in that chapter for all this to transpire. Now, did it take 130 years? I don't know. But we see the two boys being born in verses 1 and 2. And then over in chapter 5, look at verse 25 of Genesis 4. Genesis 4, verse 25. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son and called his name Seth. For God, said she, hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. Now, I find that an interesting statement. Didn't she consider Cain, who is still living, a seed? What happened there? I think Adam and Eve had broken hearts long before Cain rose up and killed his brother. They knew the rebellion in his heart and that he wasn't living for God. And I wonder how they felt when he offered the offering that he offered, knowing it wasn't in the plan of God. These are the two that God had given the instruction for how to worship him, and certainly they passed it on to their children because they knew what it was like to walk in fellowship with God as no other human being ever has. And they knew the devastation and the loss when that fellowship is broken. We don't understand it like Adam and Eve did because we have never had a sinless existence walking with God. Now, we can have good times when we go through personal revival and that fellowship is so sweet, but can you imagine when there's no bent towards sin at all whatsoever? When the devil has absolutely nothing to grab a hold of to tempt you. We don't grasp that, but Adam and Eve did. And they, I'm sure, poured their hearts into their children. They didn't want them spending an eternity in hell. I believe they understood all these things. And then they watched their son Cain. And he has no regard for the teachings of the Lord. They understood the hope was in Abel, who was a faithful young man to the Lord. And so that's what happened. They counted the seed with Abel, but another seed instead of. So how long was it when he was born? We find that in chapter 5, verse number 3. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness and after his image and called his name Seth. And so 130 years. In that 130 years, Cain and Abel were born. Cain killed his brother. So that's how much time transpires. Now, one thing that's interesting in the genealogies, and oftentimes we kind of yawn our way through them as we're reading through the scriptures, but there's one particular word that's lacking in Cain's genealogy that is telling. Because I'll say from time to time that we have the walking dead among us today. We always have. The walking dead are those without Christ. They're not alive. They're dead. Well, God backs that statement up because if you look through Cain's genealogy, let's pick it up in chapter 4, verse number 17. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch, and he builded a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch. And unto Enoch was born Irad, and Irad begat Mahujil. Mahujil begat Methuselah. Methuselah begat Lamech. All right, that's Cain's genealogy. Look at Adam's genealogy in chapter 5. All right, let's, we already read verse number 3, that Adam lived 130 years and begat Seth. Look at verse number 4, Seth lived 105 years and begat Enoch, and Seth lived after he begat. What's the one word that's in Seth's or Adam's genealogy that's not found in that of Canaan, or excuse me, of Cain? The word lived. The word lived. God never says of Cain's line that they lived, but he says that of each one living in the line of Adam or in the line of Seth. I find that very interesting. I find that very telling. All right. What did God, or how does God show approval of an offering? Back in chapter 4 of Genesis, verse number 4. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. Now, this last phrase is what triggered that question. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. How did they know that? God wasn't walking in the cool of the day with the children of men as he did with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden any longer. So how did they know that God had respect? How does God show that? Well, we've got five examples in the Word of God how we know that God had respect to an offering. In Leviticus chapter 9. Leviticus chapter 9, verse number 24, at the dedication of the priesthood. And there came a fire out from before the Lord and consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat which the people saw, They shouted, fell on their faces. So how did God show that he accepted or had respect to the offering? The fire. Through fire. All right. Let's look over in the book of Judges. Chapter 6. Judges chapter 6. At the call of Gideon. Verse number 21. Then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and there rose up fire out of the rock and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. So how did he show that he had respect for the offering there? Fire. Through fire. All right, well, let's move on to 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse number 38, on Mount Carmel. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. How did he show he had respect to Elijah's offering and not to that of Baal? Fire. Again, consuming everything. All right, well, we have more examples. What about with King David in 1 Chronicles chapter 21? Verse number 26. And David built there an altar unto the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings and called upon the Lord, and he answered him from heaven by fire upon the altar of burnt offering. How do you show it here? You're kind of getting the idea, aren't you? We probably don't even need to go to the next one, which is at the dedication of the temple. But again, fire came down from heaven and consumed the offering. God makes it very clear when he accepts an offering in the Old Testament. I'm not saying he works that way today. I've never seen fire come down from heaven. But God makes it evident. And so it was very clear in Cain and Abel's minds whose offering God accepted and whose offering he didn't accept. And so when we read that, we understand that they knew what was going on. And that's why Cain was so upset. So what's the difference between the two offerings? And we've probably all heard a lot about this. Look in, again in Genesis chapter 4, verse number 3. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And so we see the two different types of offerings. Cain brought grain and fruit. Abel brought a little lamb, an innocent sacrifice. Now, was the difference between the two offerings that of works? That of works. I would suggest the answer to that is no. Now, I'm not a shepherd. I don't know much about sheep, but I do know they're a very needy animal. And that Cain wouldn't have just because he had a couple sheep running around his yard, he wouldn't have offerings. It takes work to take care of them. And so I would suggest it's not works versus faith. And it's not that Cain didn't have faith. That would be the second letter B there. Was it works? I would suggest no. And you can disagree with me on this if you'd like to. Was it works? No. Was it a lack of faith? I think Cain had a lot of faith. I don't think he would have offered that grain, if it wasn't, if he didn't have faith that God would accept it. Because Cain didn't want to be rejected by God. I think we see that in his response and in his disappointment. Now, he responded badly to being reproved, but nevertheless, he still was very disappointed that God didn't have respect to his offering. So I see faith in Cain's life here. So what was it? The lack of blood. The lack of blood. God requires blood to be shed if sin is to be forgiven. And so works is not involved in that. The innocent sacrifice and faith is everywhere in accepting God's offer of forgiveness through Christ. And so I think that's the difference between these two offerings. Is one was blood, the other was bloodless. And that's why God didn't have respect to Cain. And so the conclusion of the whole matter, Cain and his offering represented worldly religion. The W and the R are there on purpose. Represented worldly religion, a man-made religion. It's been said of the United Methodists and others, the mainliners, that they've taken the word blood out of their hymnals. They've taken nothing but the blood. I don't know what they might have replaced the word blood with. I think they just took the whole hymn out. You can't have a bloody religion, and they scorn that idea and that concept of a bloody religion, that one could die for all. Well, they're walking in the way of Cain, aren't they? A worldly religion. To think that works could ever atone for sin. It's a worldly religion. It's the way of Cain. We want to be careful we're not going the way of Cain, because what did it result in? It resulted in malice and cruelty. Malice and cruelty. Now, what is malice? Anyone want to try to define malice? Cindy? Okay. Anger, hatred, all combined, maliciousness. All right? Anybody else want to give it a go? Ill will. Okay. Anybody else want to give it a go? These aren't wrong, by the way. It's hard to be wrong. I think we grasp the concept. All right, what malice is, anger that's festered. And so the word revenge becomes a synonym where we just need to get even with them. We need to cause whoever it is that we've been angry with and that we've festered. And you know how anger can just brew if you don't let it go and you don't forgive them. It turns into malice. Malice is worse than anger. Does God have anything good to say about anger? Now, that's a trick question. I'll tell you right up front, because yes, he does. It wasn't too long ago I preached the message about being angry, and Lord willing, this Sunday we'll look back at the subject of anger. But God got angry, and we're commanded to be angry, but generally speaking, anger is not spoken well of. It's a work of the flesh. But if that is multiplied by festering, it becomes a terrible thing. Well, that's what happens through worldly religion, because there's no forgiveness, because there's no blood. There's the conviction that they know they're wrong. Deep down, they know they're wrong, but they make the wrong choice in response to that realization, just like Cain did. And so these certain men crept in unawares. God says their first philosophy is that they've gone the way of Cain, into worldly religion. Father, we thank you for your word. Help us as we examine these three philosophies, and help us to identify, should any of these philosophies be creeping up in our lives, that we might eradicate it. Father, may your Holy Spirit be that shining light in our soul and in our heart to reveal this unto us, that we might put it under the blood and change our ways through repentance. Now, as we go our separate way, we ask your blessing upon us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.